Our speaker today is Mike Burdick. This is the first message on the core values of Awakened Church. Mike starts with core value number 3, Heaven is Open.
This is Awaken Online, a virtual library of the Sunday morning messages at Awakened Church in McMinnville, Oregon.
So over the next couple months, and in no specific design, no specific format, those of us willing to present will be discussing our church's core values. See, we've been challenged to walk through what Scripture says on how our core values best express our belief in Jesus and our role as His ambassadors to our community and to the world. Now, these messages will come about randomly. Again, there's no one certain manner or focus. It's not like Nehemiah or Ephesians where we just kind of piled through. But every now and again, you're going to hear one of us come up, step forward, and speak to our church's core values. And when we do so, we do not stand before you in the realm of control. We will not seek to brainwash you with beliefs that drive conformity. Our goal is to drive us as a church into a greater space of unity. And with that unity, we become stronger in our desire to edify and to be edified as one church body. So with that said, today, I want to look specifically at value number 3, mainly because I like things when they're out of order, but that's okay. Value number 3 in our core values, you can see them online. Hopefully it is coming to a screen near you. Core value number 3 is entitled Heaven is Open. And it simply states our God is approachable and involved. We desire to be in His presence and for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We believe our pursuit of Him for the outworking of His plan will result in the obvious expansion of His kingdom, both individually and in today's culture. Now, looking at that, sounds simple, sounds pretty good, it's desirable. But as you look a little deeper, you're going to see 3 main distinct beliefs. One is that God is approachable and we serve in an involved God. Secondly, we believe a time will come when we see His will done equally on earth as it's being conducted in heaven. And finally, we also believe that God has a role for us to participate in and to see the real-time expansion of His kingdom, an expansion that is obvious to us as believers. So today, I want to take a look at the scriptural aspect of what these 3 stated beliefs really mean. Can we actually find a scriptural basis that provides us with clear guidance on what we're looking for and how best to proceed forward? And collectively, how can the fruits of this core value be observed in real time? I believe answering those questions will provide us with proper context. And through that context, we will also see how there is a real-time path for us to observe real-time kingdom expansion. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank You for the opportunity to stand before this amazing group, this family of believers. Lord, we do want to step out of our own world, step out of our own stresses, and learn more about what You have for us. What is Your plan? What is Your desire? And how can we be part of seeing Your will, Your desire for Your expansion of Your kingdom here on earth? What does that even mean, Lord? I just ask that you challenge each and every one of us with those questions and hope that this time can help shed some light as to our role and how much you just invite us into that space to fulfill that role. We thank you for this time, and Lord, again, as always, I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. So, first and foremost, do we serve an approachable God, and in fact, is heaven open for business?
Yes.
Okay, so we can go home now. No. Just kidding, I have the microphone, sit down. The simple answer is yes. And the fun thing about it is that simple answer flows all the way back to the very foundations of the book of Genesis. Genesis 2:7 tells us how the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed life into his nostrils and the breath of life. All throughout the Old Testament, one theme resurfaces multiple times, as seen in Deuteronomy. In 26:12, it says, "I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people." You see, the plan from creation has always been relationship-based and relationship-focused. This has also been confirmed through the prayer of Jesus in John 17. This passage is one of the most heartfelt prayers Jesus has ever uttered. And it's happening while he's in the garden just prior to his arrest. We're going to look at John 17, and we're going to go 20 through 26. Jesus says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, and that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you've sent me. And I have declared it to them, your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them." Again, God's intent from the beginning of time through the end times to come has always been focused on relationship. And this relationship can't be real to us unless we realize and believe that God is, in fact, approachable. He created us out of love to love us. And because he loved us first, we are invited into an open space to respond to him in love. Make no mistake, we serve and we worship the one true God. He is approachable, which makes heaven open. And if we don't, it's time to go home. Our second belief in this core value is the desire to see God's will done on earth as it is in heaven. This value is rooted very deeply in the Lord's Prayer as it's written in Matthew 6:10, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." These are the direct words of Jesus when teaching us how to pray. See, the difficulty with this verse is the number of times it's actually taken out of context. There are some theologies, believe it or not, that think that this is a real-time command needing our participation to usher in Jesus' return. Some teach this passage as if we are being bestowed some realm of authority that when exercised rains heaven down on earth in such a manner that won't happen unless we exercise our authority and control. Some people actually believe and teach that the return of Jesus won't happen unless we make it happen. See, unfortunately, that's not the passage in the Bible that teaches us our role in real-time kingdom expansion. This one isn't it. This statement's actually more powerful than that. Seen in proper context, we better understand the full power and the authority of Jesus and the complete and total sovereignty of God. See, this was not a prayer that Jesus asked us to pray. This wasn't a set of words meant specifically to be recited over and over. No, this is a model of how our hearts and our minds are to be focused when we pray. Now, it's not sinful to recite this prayer. It is not wrong to pray these words individually or in a group setting. Please don't walk away thinking that I'm personally discouraging you from reciting these words during a time of prayer. That is not my intent. My intention is simply to bring this passage into context, to provide a sharper focus so that each member of this church can better appreciate why these words belong in our core values. So let's take a minute, let's dive in to these words from a perspective that places them in proper context. See, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount takes a moment to teach us in which manner to pray. In Matthew 6:5-15, he walks us through the landscape of this model of praying. And in verse 5-8, Jesus is asking us to not be like the hypocrites when they pray. Verse 5 tells us, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." So he goes on in 6-8, asking us to be in proper posture. A posture that requires mind, heart, and soul focusing more on who we are talking to and less on what we're actually saying. And Jesus clinches it in his own words that start in verse 9. "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Multiple translations take the phrase in this manner is the New King James Version. There are other translations that say, "Pray like this," or "In this way, pray." Again, it's focus over substance. So in that proper mindset, what is the meaning of verse 10? And why is it so critical for us at Awaken to incorporate it in our core values? Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a mindset. And in this mindset, we are being asked to be prepared. We must be focused on the reign and the authority of Jesus during and after his return, during that millennial reign on earth at the end times. This is the true time where his kingdom will come and is the one true time where his will in heaven will be in complete and total equality with his will on earth. This is a mindset we need to be praying with, knowing that we live a life that is focused on what is to come. We pray in this mindset as a means to be ready. It's a means to keep our lamps trimmed. And Scripture implores us to be watchful and ready. We must hold this mindset in our walk, in our prayer life, because Matthew 25, 13 says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." We don't know. My daughter loves to joke about the guy on the sidewalk with a cardboard sign that says, "The end of the world is coming. The end of the world is here." Because she knows that one of these days, that poor guy's going to be right. But we don't know when he's going to be right. We don't have that knowledge. We don't get that power or authority. But we have to pray with that sense of urgency. Awaken needs to be a church functioning with a sense of urgency. Praying for and expecting his return is essential, and why these words are valuable and need to be incorporated within our church core values. Only through that proper mindset and sense of urgency can we enter into our final stated belief and know how to realize an expansion of the kingdom individually and in today's culture. The proper focus allows us the opportunity to see the world, or to see the word kingdom, from a real-time perspective. And Scripture actually invites us into that real-time experience. To observe kingdom expansion, we simply need to look at Paul's writings in Romans. Throughout Romans, Paul gives vital instructions to believers in different aspects of their Christian, in our Christian life. In chapter 14, he takes a little bit of time to warn us to not get too wrapped up in our own little rituals, our own little practices. He talks of the importance of receiving each other from God's perspective and not judging others from our own flesh, meaning our own sense of what is right and what is wrong. He even uses the phrase, "Don't get into disputes over doubtful things." He uses food and food choices to illustrate his point. And in doing so, he invites us into an understanding of what real-time heaven on earth is all about. We look at verse 17, Romans 14, 17. "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Real-time expansion, shockingly enough, has nothing to do with our political position on any one particular subject. It's not centered around ritual practices in our church. It's not focused on what we choose to eat versus what somebody else chooses to eat. It's not even a matter of where you choose to go on vacation. If that were the case, my wife would tell you that the only completely spiritual and righteous place to vacation on this planet is Disneyland. Now, I love my wife, but can you actually imagine taking communion to the Lord with a churro and a Diet Coke? I joke, but I joke to make us look closely at what real-time kingdom expansion means. It is so much greater than anything of this world. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So let's kind of walk through the last part of this and look at the two operative words that are in this scripture. The word in and the word and. Now, the word in is obviously the easiest. In the Holy Spirit. No Holy Spirit, no kingdom. Right? If the Holy Spirit, like Elvis, ever leaves the building, ain't nothing for us left. We all get to go home. And that's a place that I don't want to be. No reason to have service. No reason to even hope for a future. Everything that we do, every reason we are here, works in and through the Holy Spirit. No spirit, no kingdom. It's that simple. So let's look closely at the word and in this verse. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy. You see, the world without the Spirit can achieve each one of these moments. We all know people with a moral compass. I know lots of people that actually think murder is wrong. Okay, we get it right on our own on occasion. I've known lots of folks who have actually lived moments of their life in peace. And all of us have had moments of joy in our life, yes? Okay. But man's ability without the Spirit makes those times just moments. They're episodes. Or as I like to say, episodes of a chaotic life interrupted. But see, in the Holy Spirit, heaven on earth is righteousness and peace and joy happening all at the same time, all in equal measure. And not by our definition, but by God's definition. A righteousness that is never ending and always faithful. A peace that surpasses everything we could possibly understand. And a joy that provides strength. What's the song we sing? The joy of the Lord is my strength, a strength producing joy, all at the same time, all in equal measure. See, this is the real-time definition of kingdom. And this is why our core value to see the obvious expansion of his kingdom, both individually and in today's culture, is so vital. So I'm going to take a little bit of literary license. I'm going to ask that we take a look at our core value, but this will, in a sense, this time we're going to look at it in an amplified way. And when we look at it in an amplified way, I want to see if it rings true. So here we go. Our God is approachable and involved. We desire to be in His presence, knowing His desire to be in our presence. And for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, to always be ready for His return and praying with a sense of urgency. We believe our pursuit of Him for the outworking of His plan will result in the obvious expansion of His kingdom, the righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, both individually and in today's culture. This is one of our core values, and I feel it's something that we must believe in. 1 Peter 4:10 implores us to accept our role as stewards, using our gifts to administer to one another makes us good stewards. And we are used by the Spirit to steward the manifold grace of God. And that is why and how we must stay focused and committed as His servants. Stewarding the manifold grace of God through the Holy Spirit's use of our gifting only happens when we allow the Spirit to work through us, not because of us. The Holy Spirit in us, using our giftings as a stewardship of His manifold grace, is our one true path to observing real-time kingdom expansion. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for this opportunity again to stand as a steward, as a mere servant, but an opportunity to be in Your presence and to have You welcome my presence so that Your desires over mine can be affected. Lord, my hope is that each and everyone here walks away with a stronger belief that they have a role, that You, through Your Spirit, can use each and every one of us so that righteousness and peace and joy in Your Spirit reigns throughout this place we call earth. Lord, I pray that we are watchful for those opportunities, that we seek them out, that we work through a sense of urgency, and that we look for each and every opportunity to be an edifying force within our own church body that will also flow out affecting our community and those outside these walls. Thank You for leaving Your Spirit with us to dwell in us. And thank You for the relationship that You invite us into each and every day, so that Your joy is our strength and that Your peace is just something we'll never get. Just enjoy. Thank You for this time, and thank You for this amazing family. And we offer this in Your name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information about Awaken Church, please visit our website, awakenmac.com. That's awakenmac.com.